It's Brian, your lunatic friend. Last episode, I thought I could do a whole record and talk about everything in 8 minutes. But that's where I got off on a sidetrack about songwriting formula and how it needs to change sometimes. The Last Time I Was Here project was the riskiest thing I ever did. The basic stuff is still there. It's always been verse, chorus, bridge, chorus. But then people started putting the chorus in the front. But we call it a hook now. We don't call it a chorus. Because most of the time, nobody's singing. I have a hard time listening to music because as soon as it starts, I'm taking notes. And before I started this record, I started to notice that songs were wordier in the verses and didn't follow a rhythm, and the hooks came off kind of abrupt, sometimes sung like a tag. This love is what I get. In the last episode, the beginning of The Last Time, I managed to cover 3 songs, Strolling on the Water, This Love is What I Get, and No You Won't, Yes I Will. I recorded most of the lead vocals for this project at a little studio called A to Z in San Dimas. Their big claim to fame was that they had recorded Tammy Faye Baker in there once, had her headphones hanging on the wall, first of all because they were caked with makeup, and second of all nobody wanted to wear them. And the studio was so tiny I started calling it the phone booth. The vocal booth was about the size of a hall closet. I even got a Bell telephone sign and hung it on the door there. And when we were doing Strolling on the Water, we had the hook, but there were no verses at the time, and I was in that closet when I started writing the verse. Open up my eyes, I pray, Lord, for just a little glimpse of you. Now I usually had the songs written before I got to the recording studio. But sometimes when you're singing it down, stuff ain't working. The last time I had to finish a song when I was recording it was on the Whistle It in the Dark project. Imagine that. In the dark about what the lyrics ought to be. It was called Every Heart Has an Open Door. And that was the hook, and we didn't have it when we were almost finished. And that brings me to another song on The Last Time I Was Here that we did. It started with a similar sound to Peter Gunn from the Pink Panther movie. You know, dun 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 dun. It's now easily recognized as a song for secret agents. I thought it would be the perfect theme, like a Christian spy in the land of the heathens. The thought was similar to the song Whistling in the Dark, but now I wasn't always lost, so this song was called Sometimes in the Dark, because for a Christian it sure seemed like I spent a lot of time near the darkness. And the lyrics in this song are better than the actual song. It opens with, I'm looking for good news, I'm hanging around, a fresh lead and some new clues, and one ear to the ground. Cause I've seen gloom, common as rain, and the worst of a sad slide is when I fail to see beyond the frame. And the hook goes, sometimes in the dark between streets and alleys, an alibi can come undone. But when the picture is enhanced, some light on the subject is enough to keep me pushing on. And I keep pushing on because there's a lot of stuff, even as a Christian, that I don't have answers for. And that brings me to another song I wrote for this record. The song is called God Knows, because I had heard people use that as a cuss word, and I always thought they should finish the sentence. Whenever a friend of mine would say, God knows, I would answer him with, and I don't. What's good for me? And the lyrics on this song were pretty fun to write. I think of love as a good thing, but what again if it's not? Is the ladder for climbing, or just whatever's on top? Do I bury the hatred, or with a shovel escape? Through the valley of shadows, or through the heart with a stake? And subconsciously, the theme in this record was growing, in my understanding that I don't get to stay where I'm comfortable. And that leads me to the lines in the next song. Lying awake, night after night, I turn to you for the meaning to a thousand dreams. Why should I fear what I'm given no answers to? I'm living with uncertainty. And it's interesting that these lyrics were coming to me without realizing that they were definitely about the fact that I was going to have to move on from my record label. And maybe I'll play this song on Nutshell Sermons under songs that didn't get airplay, because this is a description of all of our lives, where I sing, somewhere beyond here is a dreamer's promised land, and faith is the road where, without fear, I believe I'll understand. Once I've arrived, with this project, it was clear that I hadn't. And in another song, I write Glad Morning, where I'm trying to get my head around the days before the resurrection. I thought it might be something I could play at Easter at services, but it's not quite jubilant enough, because I have to take everyone's word for the fact that Jesus came back from the dead. And I haven't arrived at the point where I'm jubilant about it. But again, the lyrics to this song might have been better than the song, where I sing, all hope for love is laid to rest, while cold entombed in stone. And then one of my favorite lines, while scattered friends and fallen angels lie awake alone. I had no trouble finding the sense of lost hope for love, because that rejection wasn't just coming from a record label. It was coming from my wife at home. I was slowly killing her love for me by absolute neglect. It's like they say, the opposite of love is not hate. No, the opposite of love is indifference. I wrote a song for my wife on the last time. It was just after another Valentine's Day, which was starting to not feel romantic at all. It was more like a report card. And now for me, the song falls flat because I wrote, I still love you, simple as that. Armed with all the words a man can find, I speak of lasting love. But the truth is, it's not just words that make love successful. And in my pursuit of a career, I was killing those closest to me. And here's where I would write a song called The Preaching Is Easy. Inspired by off-road mountain biking, it was a good example of Christian faith. It opens with, we met on the high road, at a glance both looking bright and shiny clean, in that seamless perfection from the makers of an ad in a magazine. But then one slip is all it takes, and the earth is not too far away. After a few years of mountain biking, I'd gotten a little overconfident, riding skinny trails through the local rocks and hills. Long story short, in my overconfidence, I would separate my shoulder and almost break my neck. And I thought, yeah, you can talk about how to ride, but you still have to do it. And the preaching is easy. We used to call it a yard sale when you wrecked your bike and the wheels came off and parts went flying everywhere. I would joke about how we would wear those bright colored jerseys in the trails in the backcountry. It was just so the helicopter could find you when you knocked yourself unconscious. And that brings me to the title track of this record, with a song called The Last Time I Was Here. And the song wasn't as prophetic as the title might lead you to believe. No, the song was about going back to one of my childhood homes. And there were a lot of those, but the earliest one I can remember was our little house in a little mining town known as Draggerton, Utah. My dad was pastoring a little church there. That church is still there. It's a Spanish-speaking church now, 70 years later. They changed the name of the town to East Carbon, but it's still there. And so is the little two-bedroom house that we lived in. And when I went back to visit some 50 years later, I was surprised at how tiny the place was. It seemed so big when I was 4 years old, having to reach up to get to the doorknob to open the front door. And I began to start imagining how our problems seem to be bigger than we are, because we haven't grown enough. And I think now I've been known to groan more than I've grown. Even years later, I'm still amazed at how intimidating my own problems are, and how small and insignificant they must seem to God, who sees a bigger picture. This would be my last recording for Myrrh Records after almost a decade. I would meet Dan Postuma for lunch just a few miles from A to Z Studios, and after a long, friendly conversation, he would acknowledge that yes, the record label was not going to renew my contract. Driving home from that meeting, I remember feeling like I didn't feel devastated enough, because it meant that my future wasn't guaranteed, and once again, I was facing some uncertainty that I had never seen. But then I knew I wasn't the guy I was when I started, nor did I want to be. Somehow, I had outgrown my own life. And that's just part of my story in Jesus and Music in the not-so-gay 90s. Thanks for listening to NutshellSermons.com, and don't forget the actual Nutshell Sermons, where you can comment and support this podcast. And yes, I said podcast, if it adds any value to your uncertainties. Thanks for gathering, and you're never dismissed.